Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, everyone.
Hi.
Yes, hi, Dee. It is Catholic Vitamins once again, a little bit delayed because we've had a very, very busy week and weekend. Part of that information we'll have to save for a little bit, but we have really been very busy.
I'm retired. Why? You're retired. Why are we so busy?
I'm going to get a full-time job so I can go back to being normal, the way we used to be. I don't want to be a couch potato. I really don't.
This is Catholic Vitamin W
for waiting. A very appropriate vitamin for the holy season of Advent, the lovely season of Advent. And I must say, Dee, that I'm gradually growing in warm, loving anticipation of another birth of Christ in my heart. We had some things that happened over the weekend that fed into that. We're going to just hold talking about those until later. But we did a wonderful weekend. And we've recently adopted somebody.
Yeah.
Yes. You want to say a word or two about this?
She's right down here by our feet.
She was chewing on a bone just a minute ago. I'm wondering if the noise would get up here.
We adopted a 3-year-old white fluff ball. Came with the name Sandy, but we quickly changed it to Maggie.
Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E. And Maggie just astounds us. She's been with us 2 weeks. That's part of why we've been busy. Getting all that started and vet visit and all that sort of thing. But Maggie has a tail that does not stop.
It is nonstop wagging.
Boy, I'm telling you.
Which is sweet, really.
She's a very, very happy dog. She has jumped right into our schedule. We've had no problems with her adopting to our schedule. She sleeps all night, even though she was brand new to us.
Oh, my gosh. Unlike Bandit, who was diabetic and had a very small bladder, who always had us up in the middle of the night.
Who had who up, please?
Deacon Tom.
Yes. I very, very seldom got a full night's sleep. Sometimes I was up 1 and 2 times because of the dog scratching at the door. At any rate.
So this is wonderful.
Yeah,
it is. She does. She just sleeps all morning. I mean, she doesn't even get up early in the morning. She doesn't get up till we move, really.
I know. And just as a side note, I'm not sure what to make of this. She does everything for us that a new dog would do. She's not obedient. And when I call her out of bed in the morning, she doesn't get out of bed. She'll just roll over on her back and, like, come scratch my tummy. And I have to lift her out of bed to take her outside. Now, this is goofy. I have to carry her outside.
She is sweet, 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 but she does not listen. She's obviously had no obedience training of any sort.
No.
But she's still a sweet, sweet dog.
Very joyous.
And she's very fluffy and very white. Because she's a Bichon poodle mix.
Listen, if you'll write a note, Dee, we won't put it on the face page for our show because that will feature our guest, whom we haven't even mentioned yet. Hello?
I know, we'll get there.
Elizabeth Piccicelli. But on the Catholic Vitamins homepage for this show, as a secondary picture, I'll try to put in a picture of Maggie. And if we can't do it there, then we'll just put it on the Friends of Catholic Vitamins website so you can see the sweetheart. She is just a joy. Well, that's a bit of prattle. We have a sort of a word to share, and that is that Dee is only going to be with us for a part of this podcast. Do you want to say why?
Because partway through this podcast, you're going to be taking me to the valley.
Yes, I am.
To the airport.
Oh, no.
And I'm flying away.
Are you going east?
I'm going east, where I might run into snow and freezing temperatures. And I'm not looking forward to that part of it, but I'm actually going back to visit my mother.
Wonderful.
And my siblings.
That'll be a nice pre-Christmas gift for your mom. You know, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, Dee has three siblings, and they are all in close proximity to
my mother,
your mother, Dee, and that means that they all get fussy from time to time, as any people living near to each other do. But when Dee comes, oh, Mom is so happy because they never have any disagreements. And Dee is always happy and smiling, and Dee takes her places and does the same thing that her daughter, the other daughter, does, Janice, your sister. But they bicker, as I guess old folks do once in a while. And
being so far away, when I do go back, I try to give them a break as much as I can, so you know they can sort of take some days off and not have to go in to see her, because I'll be there, and just give a break, because they've got pretty much the responsibility of dealing with her needs most of the time.
She's in her 90s, so definitely she is a special situation, a special care situation. And
because of the age, 96, she is had some health issues just recently, and that's really why I wanted to get back and see her.
All right. Well, Elizabeth Ficicelli is our guest. We'll have more about the next segment in a few moments. Tom and Dee will be back. Well, Dee, we said that the vitamin for this show is Catholic Vitamin W for waiting, the season of Advent. And we've done some things to help prepare our minds and hearts. I hope our listeners have done things to prepare theirs for a new coming of the Christ child in their faith walk. For example, we had an Advent penance service in our parish. I had gone to reconciliation a couple days ahead of that, so even though I'm a great sinner, I was able to make myself believe that I didn't have to go back to confession 2 days later.
I was so impressed. We had 10 priests.
Isn't that great?
Including our priests. We had 10 priests there.
Yeah.
And some of those priests, 9 of those priests, had to drive anywhere from an hour to 3 hours to get to our parish to help us out.
I think the average for all of the priests is 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. So it's a real sacrifice for them. It's not as if they're in the same city like, you know, major population areas.
I don't think I truly realized it until I heard Father talking about it, that our parish is the largest in the vicariate that
yeah,
we're part of.
Right.
And that's why he's able to get a lot of the priests from the other parishes in the vicariate to come here to help him for penance services.
Other dioceses may not use the word vicariate. I can't remember what they called it up in...
So like a deanery?
Deanery, yeah, up
Colorado,
in Colorado.
We call it deanery.
Right. So we did that, and we had a special program at our parish this weekend, 2 days, special program. And what we'll do is a little tease to see who's listening and paying attention. If anybody can guess what happened this weekend at our parish, one time on Saturday and one time on Sunday. The first one to correctly guess, because we planted some other hints and things elsewhere. If you can guess what it was, send your guess to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And the first
person we hear from.
Yep, we'll send a Catholic Vitamins sweet treat and something else.
First person with the correct guess, that is.
Yes, yeah, of course. All right, so that talks a little bit about waiting for Advent. I'm really desirous and anxious to bring the wonderful, warm, and smiling voice of Elizabeth Ficicelli to our listeners in just a few moments, but we want to just share a little bit of additional news. We resumed our Faith Travelers group after a hiatus for a while. Faith Travelers is a group of people in our parish who meet every 2 weeks on average, although this last one was longer. And we meet to watch videos, to have a good meal together, and to share faith and fellowship. So I had the lead in this most recent Faith Travelers meeting after the dinner, and I talked to folks about some things that we might consider as Faith Travelers for 2017. The first thing I said was, people will want to know, why do we have to do something different? And I started by saying, you don't have to do anything different. These are just new ideas for other things that we could consider. So I gave them examples. Widow's work. What's widow's work? Well, we're in an older parish, quite a bit older parish. And I know that we have widows around who are living on their own. They don't have a husband anymore to change furnace filters or to fix faucets that are leaking or go take the car to get an oil change, that sort of thing. So widow's work was something I talked about. One of the ladies, maybe two of them in our Faith Travelers group, have gone to the St. Paul. They haven't gone to it. They have taken the St. Paul Street Evangelization
training
online. And they have had in their heart that they might like to do some evangelization in the community. When I brought this up, I'm not very sure that we got much positive reaction to it, because people are sort of squeamish about the idea of having to do anything that demonstrates their faith, which is a real shame. But so what we did is we explained that St. Paul Street evangelization format is not to go confront people or interrupt their walk or whatever, but go out with a table, some rosaries, some miraculous medals, and some sheets that talk about various issues in the Catholic faith. And if anybody wants to talk, if anybody wants prayer, if anybody would like a free rosary, you do that. And that's kind of the approach that the St. Paul Street Evangelization Group...
Pretty much they approach you. You don't approach them.
Right, right. I also talked, another idea completely different, was would anybody be interested in, I mentioned it as a cancer prayer group, but it quickly became a healing prayer group, maybe to be done before, during adoration. And I think by discussion, we had more reaction to that than other ideas, because people know that we have a lot of elders and we have a lot of illness in our parish, our family, and friends. So the last thing that I'll share with you is that I shared a video which was about 30 minutes long, and it was a sample of a program for men called That Man Is You. It exists in many, many parishes around the United States. It's been very successful, and the results of doing that program in parishes have been astounding. Priests are happy, pastors are happy, wives notice a significant difference in the men. And so I mentioned that idea, and, you know, then there's all kind of questions, just the way people are. It's almost like bringing up politics. Somebody said, well, couldn't we invite women? And the idea was, that man is you. It's a men's faith and sharing and growing group, but we'll see whether that goes anywhere. I don't know whether it will or not.
I'd like to watch the video for the women, the one that's geared toward women.
Okay, all right, we can do that for sure. Well, I think, Dee, that is kind of a wrap on a couple prattle segments. I will miss you. I know our listeners will miss you. And I want to say, as I always do, I love you. And I'll be praying for your safe travels.
Oh, you're sweet.
Love you, blessings, and we'll be back with our guest, Elizabeth Ficicelli. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, a return guest, one of the guests that make my heart smile. She is Elizabeth Ficicelli from the state of Ohio, and she has been on Catholic Vitamins before. We're going to talk today with Elizabeth about several things, but our focus will be on Advent. This is Catholic Vitamin W for waiting for a new birth of Christ in my heart and in the hearts of others I know. Elizabeth, welcome once again to Catholic Vitamins.
Hi, Deacon Tom. It's wonderful to be with you, and a happy Advent to you.
Amen. Blessings, and in return to you as well. I read that a bishop said of you, "I highly recommend Elizabeth as a speaker. She's in the forefront of the new evangelization in the Catholic Church." Before we turned our time on, you were mentioning a trip that you made down to Florida, and I just know that if we started talking about your books alone, we would wonder how you are able to travel on airplanes and do books. You must be taking a lot of Catholic vitamins, and we are appreciative of our time with you today. So you were mentioning to me earlier in our setup that that you have been focusing on doing a parish mission approach. You want to say some words about that?
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I speak all over the country and now up into Canada and at conferences and parish events and schools or wherever God sends me. But it really got put on my heart about a year ago to offer my services as a parish mission speaker, you know, to come to parishes and do a three-night mission. And I prayed about it, and God showed me how two of my existing presentations really worked well together, and he called me into a third one. And so what I do, it's called Discovering, Living, and Sharing Our Mission, and I get very fired up about it. The audiences that have gone through it are really fired up, but I take them on a three-step journey. The first night, I share my conversion story from non-Catholic to Catholic evangelist and how mission was placed on my heart when I was a child by what I believe was God telling me he had a special mission for me. And I would have to kind of figure out the clues along the way to see that in addition to being a wife and mother, he was calling me into evangelizing through my writing, my speaking, and my media work. So the first night's my conversion story and trying to get the audience to look at their life and look back on how God has been leading them to where they are right now. So just to pay attention to how God works in our lives. And then the second night is like my favorite because I talk about if we're going to discover and live and share our mission, our special purpose that we've been created to do just by God, we need to be unburdened to do that. And I get into this really powerful presentation on confession in a way that people have not seen it before. I had a huge miracle with confession in my own life and a great understanding of it. And it's very, very powerful. It sends the people, you know, running to confession after the presentation. And then in the third night, we really dive into this concept of, you know, how to discern a mission and how to prepare ourselves for it and then actually how to live it out and share it. So when by the end of the third night, people are pumped up, they are fired up, they are ready now to go out and do, you know, the work that God is calling them to. So it's just fabulous, and I can't wait to hopefully bring it to your area, Deacon Tom.
Amen, amen. Yeah, we were talking about you coming back to Arizona or stopping as you fly to the West Coast or something. And we would love to make that happen. We'll pray about that and ask God's help in making that come about. Before we get into Advent, I just want to ask about your books. I was looking at a list of the books that you have written, and I have a couple that are favorites of mine. I have some interest in the area of mystical experiences in the church, and I know your book, mm-hmm. Bleeding Hands, Weeping Stone was one that mm-hmm. we talked about on one of your earlier visits, but you've had such a wide area of things. You've written children's books. What's been relatively current in your writing and publishing?
The most recent book that I did on my own, at least, I did collaborate with a meditation book, but my most recent one of mine is Therese, Faustina, and Bernadette, three saints who challenged my faith, gave me hope, and taught me how to love. And it is, in essence, it's my conversion story, and in particular, my walk with these three saints that came into my lives in interesting ways, and how they've profoundly affected me as a wife, as a mother, as a disciple, teaching me about the virtues of faith, hope, and love. And so I love it because I get to not only share my story, but more importantly, I get to invite people to really meet these three powerhouse saints, and they really come away with a new understanding of them, and this whole idea about how saints are our friends and our spiritual companions, not only wonderful models, but they're powerful intercessors, and we really need them on the journey. So it's exciting. And right after I came out with my book, there's been other books similar to it, so I know that this is definitely an area that is sparking people's interest.
One other area that I have a very special place in my heart about is Medjugorje. And I know some mm-hmm. years ago you released a book, quite a few years ago, you released a book, The Fruits of Medjugorje. How has that done, and is it still available?
Yeah, it is. And of course, we do respect our Holy Mother Church. We know that she is still in a discernment process over Medjugorje. We know that we can talk about it. We can go visit there. But we do have to wait till the church gives an official stamp that this is an official church pilgrimage site, that these are authentic. But in the meantime, we can talk about the fruits of Medjugorje, how it has impacted our lives. And that's what that book is. It's a collection of stories, and these people who had gone there or even just read about it ended up having very, very powerful public conversions. So their lives were radically changed, and then their lives would change others. One of them that comes to mind is Father Donald Calloway, very mm-hmm. famous, world-renowned speaker, Catholic priest. His big turnaround came from reading a book on Medjugorje. He didn't even go there. He just read a book, and it was in his wild, wild time of youth. And boy, did God hit him over the head with a 2x4, and he is a powerful priest today. And I consider myself a fruit of Medjugorje. That's over there is where I really began to understand that my special mission was to go out and take this love I had for my new Catholic faith and share it with others. Praise and God. I credit that experience to open my eyes to what God wanted me to do.
Amen. We had Father Calloway on the show about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. And
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's get into Advent. I want to honor the fact sure. that you have a busy schedule. I was saying to you that Catholic Vitamins, now in its 7th-plus year, got started when we found a priest who had a powerful teenage experience before he was a priest, obviously, a powerful experience in his own life when he was in adoration, and we called a Catholic Vitamin A the sacrament of practice of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. And you're going to talk to us about Advent, and I remember that that you have 6 tips for keeping the season holy. What is the first of your 6 tips?
Right. Well, I knew you would appreciate this, Deacon Tom, because like you said, you use the letters also in your vitamins, your Catholic vitamins. And I think that's an easy way for people to remember things. So my 6 tips begin with the letters of Advent, A-D-V-E-N-T, and A for Advent stands for the same thing you just mentioned. It stands for adoration. And it's probably important that I throw in at the top of this that my six tips are never, never meant to be, here's six more things you have to add to your list during the next 4 weeks, because we all know these are the busiest weeks of the year. So that's not what this is about. My tips are about finding a quiet in the storm, in the chaos, you know, a little reprieve from the busyness of life and holiday preparations. So something that's going to give you a little rest, a little slowdown, a little rejuvenation. So kind of keep that in mind. But first one is, A is for adoration. And we know that at the first Christmas, with the birth of Jesus, we had the humble shepherds adoring Jesus. We have the mighty kings adoring Jesus. And we as Catholics have the opportunity to adore Jesus, not in the manger, of course, but in the tabernacle in every Catholic church around the world. And my first tip is to encourage you to carve out that 1 hour when Jesus says, can you stay awake with me 1 hour? Make the time this Advent. Find that hour, whether it's daytime, nighttime, whatever fits your schedule, and go before the Lord without any kind of agenda. You don't have to worry about bringing material. Just bring yourself and just be in his presence for an hour. Just rest. Even if you doze, that's okay. It's holy rest. But just be in his presence and see what he may want to gift you with, what he might want to bless you with, how he might want to rejuvenate you at a time that I think we all need it, and how you can just ponder on the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord 2,000 years ago, the coming of the Lord today through the sacraments, and the coming of the Lord in the future, which we all want to be prepared for. So first tip is A for adoration.
Okay. D for four.
Okay, so D is for divine word. And this is, of course, Holy Scripture. And I know that a lot of times Catholics, they're getting better, but there's still a lot of Catholics that are reserved to crack open the Bible and spend some time with it. You know, we hear a lot of Scripture at Mass. If you're a regular Mass goer, you hear quite a bit of the Bible during the year. But it's important that we also spend time with God's Word, because God's Word is living. It's something that we can never exhaust in our lifetime. It's packed with meaning. Sometimes you hear a verse over and over in Mass, and one day it just hits you between the eyes. And that's because it's living. It's a living, and it's meant to help us on our journeys. So my tip for the letter D, divine word, is, you know, get yourself, first of all, make sure it's a Catholic version of your Bible. Dust it off. Put it in a place that you are going to see it, whether that's on your kitchen counter, on your nightstand, somewhere where you're going to actually pick it up and use it. If you have a paperback one, don't be afraid to highlight it, write in it, live in it, pray in it. You know, this is God's word to you. And spend 10 minutes. That's kind of the challenge, is to try to spend 10 minutes a day with God's word, with divine word. And again, to see, what does he want to tell you? How does he want to guide you? How does he want to fill your heart at this time of the season? And it may be a good idea to especially reflect on those Advent readings that we will hear during the weeks of Advent, because they're very important, of the prophecy of the Messiah to come, of Jesus as that fulfillment of the Messiah, the Blessed Mother and her role in all of this. So great readings to reflect on, but don't be afraid to spend 10 minutes a day this Advent with the divine word.
All right. And V as part of Advent?
Okay. V is for the Virgin, Virgin Mary. And Blessed Mother is such an important figure in Jesus' first coming. We know that God could have sent his son any way he wanted into humanity, but he chose a human family to bring this son, and through it, especially through this woman, Mary, she was chosen from all time. She was chosen from women past, present, and future, and she was created sinless so she could carry out this very, very important role. But she did have to cooperate with the grace. You know, he didn't force it on her. She had to say yes. And thankfully for all of us, Blessed Mother did say yes. But she is so important for us, not just Advent, but all year long, because she is this wonderful, wonderful model of virtue. She shows us, you know, how to be that perfect disciple of Christ. Not that we can be perfect like she was, but that we can really follow her example and be a better disciple, let's say that. And she is the mother of all of us. She, you know, God gave her, Jesus gave her to us when he hung on the cross. And so my challenge is to invite Blessed Mother and her powerful intercessory capability, her powerful championship over evil. I mean, she's such a gift to us. Invite her into your Advent this year And there's two feast days that happen during Advent, which are wonderful opportunities for us to bring Mary closer into our life. One is happening this week. It's the Immaculate Conception. The other happens next week. It's our Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So be sure to celebrate Mass on these days and make it a special effort in some way to bring Blessed Mother a little deeper into your Advent. Maybe it's a rosary if you don't normally pray the rosary, or an extra rosary or chapel, something that can just remind you of Blessed Mother and the wonderful motherhood and protection and grace that she wants to bring your life today.
Wonderful. Having spent time with you in the past, visiting on Catholic Vitamins and Father Don Calloway, there's just so many things that we have to learn about Mother Mary and her importance in the salvation history story. So I'm glad that she's a part of your Advent message. All right, you ready for for the Advent word?
Yes. So the letter E, sometimes people say, I know what it is, it's Eucharist. But I like to say, before we can have Eucharist, we need this. And E is for examination of conscience.
Oh, my.
You know, Advent used to be referred to in the church as kind of a mini Lent, you know, and that's it, Lent. We know what Lent is, and it's a time of really reparation and preparing, you know, for the high holiday of Easter and the sacrifice of Easter. But Advent is very much the same way. It is a perfect set of 4 weeks to really search our souls, to be prepared to meet Jesus when he's coming again in all these forms. And, you know, make straight our paths. That's what John the Baptist was crying out in the desert, you know, prepare the way for the Lord. And so we want to take, an opportunity this Advent where we sit down and we really examine our conscience and we pray to the Holy Spirit and we say, you know, Holy Spirit, help me to know what it is you want to change in my life, what I need to do better in my life. Where do I need conversion and where do I need reparation in my life? And then when you do that examination of conscience, then you can go to reconciliation and unburden yourself from all of that and receive the peace that God wants to give you. Receive that great joy and all those graces, the power that comes from this sacrament. And then once we're, you know, in that state, we can really then fully understand and appreciate the Eucharist, which is obviously another very important gift during the season of Advent. So make sure this Advent you find that time to make a good heartfelt confession and just feel washed clean, feel that ultimate do-over, that lightening, that unburdening that you feel when you make a good confession.
Elizabeth, if I could just springboard on your ideas for Advent and just share a little bit of personal journey. It wasn't too terribly long ago that Dee and I, who have been doing evening prayer together and out loud and in our presence of each other. We've been doing this for a lot of years, but we added the examine of conscience each evening. And it's a period of taking about 60 seconds, 90 seconds to just reflect on any struggles we've had, any failings or weakness that we've had during the day, and bring those into our prayers. So I would add that to your recommendation for an examination of conscience.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Great tradition. That's wonderful.
Okay. Now, letter N.
Okay, so N is for neighborliness or neighborly love. And, you know, when we are going through our journey trying to get to heaven, well, it's great for us to get to heaven, but we're also supposed to bring as many people to heaven as we can. And we've been asked by Jesus to be people in community, to be paying attention to who's around us and who might need our love and our prayers and our support financially, emotionally, spiritually. So to be looking for those marginalized people, the less fortunate, the poor, the elderly, the sick, because we are supposed to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the arms and the heart of Jesus on this earth, where most of us are not called to live, you know, in a cave as a hermit. We are people in community. And the church gives us wonderful guidelines on how we can be that good neighbor to people, again, all year long, not just at Advent, but she has the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy, and we just came off a whole year of mercy, so hopefully we understand these better. But there are things like, you know, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked or sheltering the homeless, visiting those prisoners or the sick, praying for people who, you know, are going through a tough time. And that's really important, too. Many of us love the holidays, look forward to Christmas and all the joy that it brings, but we can't lose sight of the fact that many people dread the holidays. Maybe they have had a loss in their family. There's something going on with them, and the holidays are a very dark time for them, a difficult time. So we want to ask the Holy Spirit, show me who in my life these next 4 weeks I can really be neighborly to and extend the love of Jesus. And as we give ourselves away like that and give to others, we will find ourselves energized. We will find ourselves uplifted. It's not another task, but it will become a true joy for us.
Elizabeth, I am writing notes, and I'm going to review these at the end of our time together, but I hope you won't mind. I think I feel a homily coming up from Deacon Tom and his church.
Well, that's okay, because Cardinal Dolan interviewed me on these tips last week and said, can I use some of these in my homily? So you're in good company.
Okay. Oh, gosh. All right, we're ready for letter T.
And T is for traditions. Traditions are wonderful things because they give us a sense of who we are, identity. They give us a sense of familiarity. They connect us, especially as families. Traditions are something that can really cement a family. And Advent just has a bunch of traditions that you can incorporate into your home, your domestic church. But, you know, don't overwhelm yourself with too many, but pick one or two that you might want to do as a family. And even if it's like mid-Advent, jump into it, that's okay. A partial Advent, I say, is always better than no Advent at all. But some of them are the Advent wreath. That's very common. But make sure, you know, you put it in a central place and you actually light those candles and pray around that wreath. We have ours on the kitchen table right there. We see it every day. We light those candles at dinner time. We've blessed it with holy water. So, you know, the Advent wreath, the Jesse tree. I love the Jesse tree, where you hang ornaments every day from December 1st to December 25th on a designated tree in your home, and that's the family tree of Jesus. It's all these stories from the Old Testament all the way to the New, showing the prophecy of the one to come, which, is, of course, is Jesus. And it's a great way to learn a little scripture and teach your kids great Bible stories. There's the Advent calendar, where you can open little doors and read scripture verses, and the kids can get a treat sometimes. St. Nicholas Feast Day, that's a great one to celebrate and honor the true saint, not the secular version, but the true saint, St. Nicholas, who was a wonderful model of generosity and giving. We can decorate our homes with purple, you know, decorations, flowers or ribbons, or just to remind us that we are in Advent. This isn't Christmas yet. It's Advent, special season, all its own, and we want to not rush through this, but really take advantage of these weeks of preparation. We could put candles in our windows. That used to be the tradition that we were guiding Joseph and Mary on their journey to Bethlehem. So it's a symbolic way of saying, we have room in our inn for you. So it's a beautiful little simple tradition. And one of my favorites is called Hay in the Manger. And we found this little tiny crib, and we put a jar of hay next to it. And during the season of Advent, whenever anyone did something good, kind, loving, you got to put a little hay in the manger. And as our boys, our kids grew up, when they did something not so nice, like to one of their brothers, they had to take some hay out of the manger, put it back in the jar. And the point of this little tradition was, you want to make a warm, soft bed for the baby Jesus to lay on Christmas Day, you know, Christmas morning when we put the figure in the manger. So it's a beautiful tradition where, again, we're trying to be good, we're trying to be virtuous, and trying to be Christ-like to one another. So those are my traditions.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. Vitamin A, adoration. Advent preparation, adoration. D, divine word, living and spending time with God's inspired word. V for Virgin Mary, spending time on the important figure chosen from all of time by God to be the mother of our Savior. E for examination of conscience. We just had our penance service in our parish last night. We had 10 priests, kind of astounding the number of priests that were able to show up for our small parish. But we had, and we had a lot of people who participated. N of the Advent word, neighborly love, and T for traditions. I might say to you, Elizabeth, that here in the Southwest or wherever there are people of Hispanic or Indian cultures, the idea of going from home to home, singing Mañanitas, looking for Christ until they finally come to a home where they have a manger set up. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that tradition, but it would be lovely to
It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it would be lovely to start a tradition of going to visit an elderly person, a widow or a widower, or somebody who needs a visit, as you were suggesting under the traditions, and bringing Christ to them in some form or another, whether it's food or some financial help or whatever. So you really inspired me to even think about new ways to apply these six letters. Elizabeth Ficicelli, would that we were able to do this more often, and I just know how busy you are and have become, but thank you so much for the gift of your time on Catholic Vitamins. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I guess I would just love to wish all of your podcast listeners a very blessed Advent. Don't rush these weeks. Take your time with them. You know, prepare your heart, your mind for the coming of the Lord, and then we can take in with a new fervence and new vigor and new enthusiasm into the next joyous new year.
Elizabeth Ficicelli, we'll keep you in our prayers, and thank you again for the gift of your time.
God bless you, Deacon Tom, and all the good work you're doing on Catholic Vitamins.
Well, we're late getting this podcast put on the air. I apologize to dear guest Elizabeth Ficicelli. This is a week overdue, but it's because I came down with a pretty bad cold and was on the couch for a lot of days. I'm just now getting around to finishing this show. We thank you very much for listening to Catholic Vitamins. Dee is away visiting her mom in Pennsylvania, as you heard earlier in the show. In a few days, I'll be picking her up, God willing, and we'll be back to normal. I hope I get rid of the last of this ganga that I'm carrying in my throat and chest. But we wish you special holy hours concluding Advent, and I hope that Dee and I are able to get with you around Christmas or between Christmas and New Year's to share another Catholic Vitamins with you. Once again, this is Deacon Tom. Special apology and thanks to Elizabeth Ficicelli for being on the show. And I'm wrapping up this Catholic Vitamins a little earlier than I thought that I would. But it's just because of my voice and getting over this illness. Blessings. We'll see you soon. Oh, I want to say one other word before we say goodbye. We want to thank a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins. I was so pleased a few years ago to be able to interview Lori Line, a wonderful composer, pianist, and orchestra leader. And from her album, Emmanuel, we've played three different, or we've played two, and I'll close with a longer version of Gloria, something that we'll hear at the Midnight Mass. Once again, thank you for being a listener to Catholic Vitamins, and thanks, Lori Line.